Okay, hello, welcome to another episode of the Pop Fishbowl Podcast. I'm your host, Ezekiel. I hope you guys are great. I am trying to kind of get into like a more weekly thing after taking like almost a year off. So I had a pod last week and was excited about Wonder Woman. So I thought I would start this eps talking about my thoughts of Wonder Woman. I loved Wonder Woman. I was so excited to see it. It was everything I hoped and dreamed that it would be. It was just this fun, kick-ass movie that had a lot of heart and a lot of soul into it. And I think a lot of that is Patty Jenkins' direction. And it's so exciting that a woman who directed this movie has made, like, it made $100 million in the first weekend. And it just keeps climbing and climbing and climbing. And I always love it when movies get, like, the acclaim they deserve, right? Like, word of mouth is everything. And just the fact that everyone, you know, seems to be enjoying this movie, whether they're, a man or a woman or, you know, a Marvel fan or a DC fan, it doesn't matter. Everyone seems to be enjoying this movie. And I'm glad because it's a good movie. I'm hoping that this finally kicks things into high gear where more women are given opportunities, not just like direct superhero movies, but just big blockbusters. I hope that people finally take note and are like, wow, Patty Jenkins did an amazing job. Why don't we, you know, give more women amazing jobs? Like, just like I said, even in the next couple months, there's Rough Night, there's Atomic Blonde, both are directed by women. You've got Ava DuVernay, who is directing the adaptation of A Wrinkle in Time next year for Disney, and I'm super excited. I remember reading the book in elementary school, and it's funny. Like, my memory of the book is just super boring. I hated it. But I love Ava DuVernay. I loved her direction in Selma. I love her show Queen Sugar, and I'm super, super, super excited. So yeah, Wonder Woman was great. I cried 3 times, legit, I'm not even joking, just throughout the movie, I just got very emotional. It is like, I haven't felt that way about a superhero movie since the first Spider-Man in 2002. Like, if people don't know, Spider-Man is probably my favorite superhero, and then I would say Batman comes next, and then Green Arrow and Aquaman are kind of tied. I give a lot more notice to Green Arrow and Aquaman because they don't really get the attention they deserve, and so I really kind of like pump them up a lot more. But probably Spidey's my favorite. Batman is probably second, just because I love those movies when I was a kid. Batman Returns is still my favorite Batman movie. And speaking of which, Adam West passed away, and he probably, like, Michael Keaton was my first Batman because there was the 1989 movie, and then Batman Returns came out in 92. But I also have a memory of watching the Batman TV show with Adam West from the 60s because my dad would watch it. My dad grew up in the 60s, and I remember I have these childhood memories of my dad kind of not forcing me to watch it, but it was that kind of that sweet spot as a child when, like, your parents are your superheroes, right? Like, everything your parents do are amazing and wonderful, and I just have very fond memories of watching the Adam West Batman, and I'm very sad that he passed away. You know, he made it to 88, which is, you know, better than dying at 50, but it's still sad. He was one of my first Batmans, and I feel like I need to watch some of those shows in kind of remembrance. But yeah, Wonder Woman was great. I think everyone should see it, especially people who are like big superhero fans, because it's an incredible movie, and I want it to make as much money as possible so that Patty Jenkins gets more opportunities. And again, more women, more directors of color, I think it's just very, very, very important. That being said, that's a wonderful segue into basically the topic, the focus of this ep of Pop Fishbowl. So I may have mentioned this last week. I don't really remember. The Mummy, the new reboot, the fourth or fifth iteration of Universal's The Mummy came out, and if people aren't aware, this is Universal's big kind of first step to kind of compete with Marvel. Ever since Marvel did their thing where they had Iron Man and the Incredible Hulk and then Captain America and Thor and so on and so on. And they all kind of culminated into the Avengers, which was like this huge movie because that had never really been done before where you have individual superheroes in their own movies and then they team up for this big movie. That had never really happened before. And Marvel did a really good job. I'm not the biggest fan of the Avengers. I thought it was okay. I don't think it's the best movie of all time, nor is it, in my opinion, the best superhero movie of all time. I thought it was okay. I've always loved Joss Whedon, going back to Buffy. And I thought it was a really good, fun movie. But ever since that movie happened, and it made Marvel $1 billion at the box office, everyone has been trying to have their own cinematic universe, and they're not really understanding. It always frustrates me, because as someone who loves movies and loves Hollywood and has always wanted to write and direct my own movies, it frustrates me that the studios continuously don't really understand what makes movies good. It's like, wouldn't surprise me if like the big takeaway from Wonder Woman kicking so much ass last week was that, oh, we need to have more superhero movies in World War One or World War Two. No, it has nothing to do about the setting of the movie. It's all about making a good movie that resonates with people, right? Where the characters resonate and the story resonates. And like I said, there was just so many things going on in Wonder Woman that culminated in a good movie, you know? And like I've said before, more importantly, Patty Jenkins, my apologies, direction is a big part of that. And so when you have studios like Universal, who have had their Universal monster movies for the last 60 years, right? We had Dracula, and we had The Mummy, and The Wolfman, and Creature from the Black Lagoon, and they were great. But your big takeaway shouldn't be, we've got to make this big cinematic universe where all the movies are connected so that we can culminate in this big movie where Van Helsing supposedly will fight off all the monsters. That shouldn't be your big takeaway. Your big takeaway should be, wow, Marvel kind of sowed the seeds. They started with a good movie, which was Iron Man. It made people excited to see more movies, and they slowly kind of worked their way up to this big movie, which was Avengers. They weren't thinking like, oh my god, we've got to get this actor and we've got to do this and da 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 da. They weren't thinking that. They were taking their time. They were trying to make the best movies possible. And you think of those first early movies. You think of the first Iron Man, and this is a really unpopular opinion. I seem to be one of the only people on the planet who shares this opinion. But I didn't like The Incredible Hulk. I certainly didn't like it as opposed to the first one. The first Hulk movie that came out in 2003 with Eric Bana and was directed by Ang Lee, that is my Hulk. That is my jam. I freaking love that movie. And I make no apologies about it. I loved that it was a superhero movie, like quote unquote, but with a lot of like psychological drama behind it. I loved Eric Bana in that movie. I love Jennifer Connelly. I especially love Nick Nolte's performance. Sam Elliott, who played General Slade, who is or General Ross, General Slade. I don't know why I said that, but who is Jennifer Connelly's dad and was basically the big antagonist other than Nick Nolte in that film. I loved how Ang Lee tried to make this like pulpy comic book movie, but had a lot of like psychological angst behind it. I just love it. I love darker movies, and so maybe that's a reason why I love that movie. I remember the big complaint at the time, and still is, you know, that movie came out like what, 14 years ago, that like, oh, it's a Hulk movie and he didn't really do any fighting, and that really wasn't the point of the movie. The movie wasn't about watching Hulk smash everything. The movie was about what makes Bruce Banner tick, and like what would happen to a guy if he had this accident that turned him into a big hulking green rage monster. And I really liked that. I really liked that they went into that, the psychology. And it was just a darker movie. And I love that stuff. So anyways, I'm not a really big fan of 2008's The Incredible Hulk movie. I think, oh God, I'm going to forget his name. I don't remember, the guy who played Bruce Banner and the Hulk in this movie, I think he's a much better actor than Eric Bana, but I like Eric Bana's movie. I like that movie. I'm just going to say it, you know? Mic drop. Everyone's going to just stop listening to my podcast. Zeke just said he thinks that 2003 Hulk is better than 2008 Hulk. He doesn't know anything. Okay, that's fine. If people want to stop listening to my podcast, that's totally cool. I'm totes cool with that. But, yeah, so, like, Marvel did this thing where they tried to make each individual movie. The first Iron Man movie, the second Hulk movie, the first Captain America movie, the first Thor movie. They tried to make each movie just a good movie on its own, even without trying to be an Avengers prequel, basically. They just wanted to make a good movie, and that's what people like Universal aren't understanding. They're thinking, okay, we're going to get Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise is going to be in The Mummy. And then we're going to get Angelina Jolie to be Bride of Frankenstein. And then we're going to get Javier Bardem to be Frankenstein's monster. And we're going to get Johnny Depp to be the Invisible Man. And they're thinking of all these stars. And I think The Rock also was rumored for the Wolfman remake. And it's like, you're missing the point. All those movies, even the first Iron Man, like, Robert Downey Jr., he was not the star that he is now. He was a guy who had had his troubles with drugs, and they had to sign basically a waiver just to insure him when that movie came out. People, like, I remember in 2008 when that movie came out, and people were not like, oh my God, I can't wait for Robert Downey Jr. to be Iron Man. They were just like, I don't think Marvel knows what they're doing. It's kind of very similar to when, like, Heath Ledger played the Joker in The Dark Knight. Like, people love that performance now. I'm just going to do a time warp to everyone who forgets. When that movie came out, people were not excited about Heath Ledger about doing the Joker. And then he died, and that movie got a lot more attention than it probably would have had he not passed away suddenly. So people forget that. So that's, like, Universal's biggest mistake. You're planning a movie and a whole universe before making a really good movie, and you're banking on people like Tom Cruise and Johnny Depp that I wouldn't even go for that. I would certainly go to people who love monster movies, right? Like, that would be the first thing that I would do. I would talk to Guillermo del Toro, who loves monster movies, like, loves them. And anyone who watches his movies, that's a huge takeaway. Like, he's the first person that I would think of. I would go to Del Toro and I would pay him whatever money he asked for and let him assemble a top team of writers, directors, and stars. And kind of, that's what I would do. I wouldn't go to Alex Kurtzman, who is the writer of The Amazing Spider-Man 2 and, you know, the Transformer movies. Like, that, to me anyways, that doesn't have a big sign of confidence. Like, honestly, my first takeaway when those movies were announced and that Alex Kurtzman was going to be the guy that was spearheading this whole universe, I got really worried. And then Alex Kurtzman was going to direct The Mummy. Like, he had never directed a movie before, like, let alone directed a big blockbuster movie. And they were going to give him The Mummy. Like, why? Like, I was really, really concerned. And as soon as, like, Tom Cruise was announced and Alex Kurtzman was writing and directing as well as spearheading this whole dark universe, all my interest went away, right? And it's especially made me mad because when Wonder Woman opened last week, the big takeaway in, like, The Hollywood Reporter and Variety and all these things were how nervous Warner Brothers and DC were because Patty Jenkins, a woman, had never directed a big superhero movie before. Like, I think people forget that her first movie that she directed won an Oscar. Like, Monster with Charlize Theron won an Oscar in 2003, got Charlize Theron an Oscar. But yeah, let's not have a lot of faith in Patty Jenkins because she's a woman. But let's give this white privileged male douchebag who has written tons and tons of bad movies this shot. Like, it's just, I don't know what they were thinking. And honestly, if Universal's listening to this pod, which is very, very doubtful, fire Alex Kurtzman. I don't care how much money this movie makes internationally. Like, right now, supposedly, it will earn around $35 million, which is terrible. You're starting a big series of tentpole films, and a movie that costs like $175 million to make, not including like production costs, makes $35 million opening weekend. That's terrible. Like, seriously, I would fire Alex Kurtzman right now. I would get him to not be anywhere near these movies. I love The Creature from the Black Lagoon. Like, I love monster movies in general, but Creature from the Black Lagoon, I love him. I have loved him ever since I was a kid and my mother bought me a monster book. And I was like, who's this? Referring to King Kong and Creature from the Black Lagoon. Like, as much as I love vampires and werewolves, and yes, mummies, Creature from the Black Lagoon and King Kong are my jam. I want there to be more movies with those characters, and I want them just to be good movies, honestly, right? That's my biggest thing. It's just for them to be good movies. I don't want Alex Kurtzman anywhere near it. So I'm very gleefully celebrating the possible demise of the Dark Universe franchise. I'm very happy. I'm especially more happy, and I'm squeeing. Like, I honestly did a dance on Friday. Like, no joke, legit. Zeke danced because Wonder Woman is poised to make around $200 million. That's just domestically. That's not even international. That's just in the States and Canada. Wonder Woman is gonna make like $200 million when all things are said and done around Monday, where The Mummy is gonna squeak by to be like $35 million. So yeah, fire Alex Kurtzman. Lose his number. Don't even talk to him. If you see him at a coffee shop, I would just go to another coffee shop. I don't even care if Starbucks is a jam. If you see Alex Kurtzman in Hollywood drinking coffee, don't just run. Run down the street to another coffee shop. Don't be anywhere near him. And I'm sorry if that sounds really harsh to Alex Kurtzman, who may be a genuinely good person, but he's a terrible writer. He seemed to be a terrible director just from the reviews that have come in for The Mummy, and I certainly don't want him anywhere near my monster movies. No, that's just dope. So you're saying to me, okay, Zeke, you've been really hard on Alex Kurtzman. What would you think? Well, not that I'm a prognosticator. Honestly, my first go-to would be Guillermo del Toro. That's the first person that I would go and talk to. And I'm sure he would be happy to talk about monsters. He probably would invite you into your house just to talk about monsters, let alone even thinking about possibly directing or spearheading these movies. It's the first person that I would think of. I would take a page out of Wonder Woman's success. You take a director like Patty Jenkins, who, yes, had never directed a big movie before, but she won an Oscar for Monster. I would be looking at people like Barry Jenkins, who just won an Oscar for Moonlight. I would be looking at people like Ava DuVernay. I would be looking at people like Takiki Waititi, who's doing Thor Ragnarok. Like, you know, Ryan Coogler, who's doing Black Panther. I'm not even a big Black Panther fan. Did you see that teaser on Friday? Oh my God, it looked amazing. And that's what like a good director does, just the production design. Like, Wakanda, which is a fictional country, looked unbelievable. Like, I mean, it looked technologically advanced. It looked beautiful. Like whoever the cinematographer is on Black Panther, I just kudos. And kudos to Ryan Coogler. Like, that's what you should be doing. You should be looking at directors who have a really good vision. And honestly, I would just have like a little like drop and chat and just say to all the people in Hollywood, like, no matter who you are, no matter who you're, you know, what your gender is, what your sexuality is, what your ethnicity or nationality is, do you love monsters? That would be like the first step that I would take. And I would just get people, because you'd be surprised. I am sure there are so many women directors who love monsters. I am sure there are Black directors, Mexican, Latino directors, you know, who love monster movies. Talk to these people. I'm, you know, just to even see what their take is. Don't go to someone like Alex Kurtzman, who seriously, like, I'm going to go on another rant right now, but honestly, the amount of damage he did to the Spider-Man franchise. Spidey, like I said at the beginning of this pod, is one of my favorite superheroes. They had this big plan before they had to go and give back Spider-Man to Marvel because Sony didn't know what the hell they were doing. And Alex Kurtzman was a big part of that. He wrote The Amazing Spider-Man 2, and he had all these grandiose plans. He was going to set up all these villains for future movies instead of making a good movie. I don't know why you keep giving this guy a chance. Like, seriously, and if people disagree with me, send me an email at popfishbowl@gmail.com. Maybe there's something good that Alex Kurtzman has done. Or, I don't know, maybe he's raised, like, $400 million for cancer research. You know, just send me something good if you like this man. Because as you can hear by my tone, I do not. And again, it's not about him personally. He could be a very wonderful guy. But just artistically, he sucks. And he should have nothing to do with this movie. Anyways, I have chatted for 21 movies, or 21 minutes, just how much I hate Alex Kurtzman and this stupid Dark Universe. So, anyways, that being said, for books, I was a big fan of A.J. Hartley's Steeplejack. It was the first in, I think it's like a 3-book series, and it's basically this dystopian African setting with a young woman, Angst Tonga, who's a steeplejack, and she gets involved in a mystery, and she becomes kind of an alternative detective. And it is one of the best YA books I have read in years. I loved the prose. I loved the dialogue. I loved the characters. They all felt real to me. And I'm excited to say that the second book in the series just dropped on Tuesday. It came out on June 6th. And so that the second book in the series, and I think A.J. Hartley has coined it the Alternative Detective Series. I think that's the official name for it. But the second book in the series is Firebrand. And honestly, as soon as this pod is done, I am running to the bookstore to get this. I'm very, very excited. My anticipation meter could not be higher. So that's for books. I'm still working on American Gods because I'm really slow. I don't know what it is. It's like, I'm a very voracious reader. I love to read. But lately, in the last, I want to say 6 months, I have the attention span of a gnat when it comes to reading. I just can't sit down. Every time I'm reading something, I make it, you know, 10 pages, 20 pages, 50 pages. And it's taking all of my energy to just sit down and read. And it's actually kind of really annoying. I seem to be distracted and thinking about everything else. And so it's taken me a long time to get as far as I have on American Gods. It's a wonderful book. Like I said, I love Neil Gaiman's prose. It's so refreshing to me to read a book that's just that well written and that engaging. So it certainly is not to do with the writer. It's me. I don't know what's wrong with me. I feel like I'm broken. I just can't read without being distracted lately. So I'm on like page 300. I've got 250 more pages to read. Yes, and I'm not gonna watch any episodes of the adaptation American Gods on Stars until I finish reading, because I want to be one of those snobby book readers and critique all the things that the series did not have. So that's for books. For comics, I'm failing again, you guys. So I'm still not even caught up to Green Arrow or Aquaman, right? Like, they're my favorite comic series right now, or one of them. And I'm like 7 issues behind on both. Misfit City issue 2 by Boom Studios is coming out this week, so next Wednesday. So that would be, give me 2 seconds, that would be the 14th. So Misfit City issue 2 should come out on June 14th. I still haven't read America number 3 from like a month ago. I tried to buy it from my local comic shop and they had sold out, so I want to read it. I haven't. So those are my books. For video games, I haven't really played anything since Thimbleweed Park. At my friend Riley's house, I'm still working my way through Sunset Overdrive, which is a game that came out 2-3 years ago now by Insomniac Games. I love it. There's just something about grinding on rails and shooting big pimply monsters with teddy bear guns. I find the game very redundant, and yesterday I was over at Riley and Jolene's, and I needed Riley's help to pass this part, because I suck at video games. I don't play video games as much as he does, and so I needed his help twice. So I'm still working on that game, very slowly and surely, but I'm having fun. So that's video game news. Lastly, but not least, that didn't make any sense. Last but not least, for movie news that isn't my thoughts on how much I hate Dark Universe, today is 31st anniversary for Ferris Bueller, which is probably one of my favorite comedies of all time. So sometime today, if I'm not reading Firebrand, or I'm hoping that I can convince my mom to see Wonder Woman, because when she was a child growing up in the 60s, she wanted to play sports, and all the awful boys were like, girls can't play sports. And she loved reading the Wonder Woman comics. She loved the bracelets that Wonder Woman has, the indestructible bracelets. So I'm hoping to take my mummy to Wonder Woman and kind of give her the movie that she would have enjoyed as a child and as a young girl growing up. So happy anniversary to Jurassic Park. Happy anniversary to Ferris Bueller. For my segment of movies from 1997, I just finished rewatching Dante's Peak, which was one of two volcano movies from 1997. I don't know what was going on in that year. Like, trying to think, because there was a couple disaster movies. There was Daylight in 96. Independence Day basically is classified as a disaster movie, even though it's a science fiction disaster movie. But for some reason, the volcano movies were all the rage in 97, because like Dante's Peak came out in February, and then Volcano came out in April of 97. So I'm working on an article right now about both volcano movies and my thoughts on them 20 years later. So like I said, I just finished rewatching Dante's Peak. I'm planning to watch Volcano in the next couple days. And we are nearing the 27-minute mark on my pod. I try to keep these short. I don't want my pods going for an hour. So if there's anything that you guys wanted to talk about, whether it's thoughts on Wonder Woman, thoughts on Dark Universe, thoughts on AJ Hartley's book series Steeplejack and Firebrand, the comics that I still have not read, the books I have still not finished, the video games I have still not finished, send me an email at popfishbowl@gmail.com. I'm going to try really hard to be back next week. I'm sure I'll have some pop culture thoughts on something. But talk to you soon. Bye.